Welcome to BNC Book Club. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Summer.
The purpose of BNC Book Club is to bring you all the comfort and gossip of a regular book club, but just between you, me, and her.
You may be wondering what the B stands for. The B stands for bosom.
Wow, bosom. The C for BNC Book Club actually stands for cookies.
Yeah, bosom and cookies.
Obviously, that just makes all the sense in the world.
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing today, Kristen?
I've been pretty good. Work has been good, actually. We are getting close to the end of the school year. And finally, I'm happy.
That's good. Finally, you're happy, she says.
I'm about to finish a year. This is going to be my first almost full year. I only got there a month into the school year.
It's exciting, though.
Yeah.
Your first year.
Mm-hmm. What about you? What have you been up to?
I just got my nails done today. I had just moved. I had to find a new nail salon with the move.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to this one place, and I ended up going there twice. The first time, they were like, eh. And the second time, they really just... it was not good. So then mm-hmm. I had to find a brand new place. And I actually really liked them. They were pretty nice. But this is the first time like I've ever like had a full therapy session with my fucking nail artist.
Really? That surprises me. You are one to talk. I'm surprised that you don't normally go into it that much.
No, I actually just put my headphones in and listen to a podcast when I get my nails done.
Oh, really? I thought you had a guy. But you said this is a new place. This is a new place. But didn't you have a guy for your wedding? You had a guy.
For my wedding, I did. But this is a brand new place, and he wasn't even my guy. He was like a guy that I knew did really well. Mm. And then he didn't even work there when I went and got my nails done. So remember, I was like,
I forgot about that.
And they were like, he hasn't worked here for a year. I was like, that's how much I pay attention.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Anyway, and then I got a girl did my nails and I liked them. So last week we left off right after the spiders and the fourth wall breaks we were talking about. And so now we're with the elvish king, the wooden. Is he wooden or wood?
They're wood elves.
Wood elves. Okay. So wood elves, elvish king.
Yeah.
Wood elvish king.
Yes. Thorin is captured by them because he doesn't want to share his gold. He doesn't want to tell them what he's doing. He doesn't want to do anything. And so he's just kind of there with them. And then the dwarves and Bilbo are just walking along one day. And then they get kidnapped.
Yeah. Themselves.
Yeah.
And then it leads into my favorite escape plan, where he just lives amongst them. Bilbo mm-hmm. just straight lives with these wood elves for, what, a week, I think it said?
It's a long time. I think it was longer than that, actually. I think it was longer than a week. I think he was there for weeks, plural. It took him, I think, 2 weeks to find out where everyone was, because they all went into separate... prisons.
Areas, yeah.
And so he had to find everyone first because he's invisible and he's just trying to sneak around these people.
And he's eating and, like, sleeping the whole time. The area, I guess. Was it a castle? I don't think it's a castle, is it?
I don't think it's a castle. No.
And then he finally is like, okay, I have a plan. And gets everyone out of their little cells
mm-hmm.
and starts shoving them in barrels.
Mm-hmm.
And no one's happy about it, but they're like happy to get out of there.
He was like, do you guys have a better plan? I don't see anyone coming up with plans.
All right, guys, go back to your cells since you don't have anything better. And they're like, you know what? Fine. We'll do this.
My thing is, like, why are they putting everything on him to make this plan? They're like, you're the one that's out there. He was giving the messages back and forth, but they were like, no, Bilbo, you're going to get us out of this. We are counting on you 100%. And I'm like, why would you all of a sudden give him this sort of responsibility? I get that he helped you out with the spiders, but
no. I was thinking the exact same thing. I was like, why is it just up to him? And they were counting on him too. Once they found out that he was there, they were like, all right, Bilbo's gonna save everyone.
Everyone.
And then they're like in these barrels and they're closed and they're going down the river. And he didn't even think of getting himself out. He was like, I guess I'll just fall in the water after them.
Yeah.
And he hangs onto the side of a barrel and just goes with it. And he's like, whatever.
I know, and part of the problem was that he could not ever get onto the top of it. It just kept rolling and rolling, so he just eventually just climbed onto it, which is part of the fun aspect of it. It's like he just can't even get on top of it.
This poor guy was clinging for his life. And then finally, they like run into Lake Town. And Lake Town itself is just straight a vibe. Once they actually make it out, immediately Thorne is like, yeah, I'm just gonna tell them what my plan is and everything that I want to do here, and they're gonna let me. And everybody's like,
Yep.
okay. And
And
guess
that's
what?
exactly what they did.
They did.
That's exactly what they did. He was like, bring me to your master because I am such and such person and I used to live in this land and we used to own this mountain. And it even says like the master that of Lake Town was very skeptical that he was actually this person,
Right.
but because he couldn't disprove it, and there were so many songs about him and his family that have just lived in this town for generations and generations that everyone's like, yeah, no, we're on board.
And they just give him everything. They're like,
Yeah.
here's a bunch of food and resources, here's free lodging, you know, and then when you go off on your adventure, here's some ponies. It's fine.
Yeah, they were just able to get everything. I
It'll
was
work out for
shocked.
us eventually.
Eventually, they thought either he would reward them for actually being the one to defeat Smaug and take back the mountain and giving them supplies in the first place, or that he was a fraud and that he would die, and so it didn't matter anyway.
Exactly. Then they like go to the mountain, and here's what really gets me. They almost give up.
Yeah.
They're at this mountain, and they've been looking for this entrance the whole time. They knew the riddle. This
They
little.
forgot the riddle. That's what it
Yeah.
says. They forgot the riddle, so they weren't thinking about it at the time, but they were ready to give up.
But like, man, you were told that it won't open just regularly. So they're ready to give up. And then freaking Bilbo figures it out because Bilbo has to do
Everything.
everything.
We are now at the point of the story. The first half of the story was where Bilbo did shit. Nothing. Nothing. He didn't do anything. He didn't do
Yeah, and it was
shit.
all Kate Gandalf helping them.
Exactly. And now we're to the part of the story where Bilbo is, he's the one who gets him out of all their scrapes. Doesn't matter what it is.
He's the only one. And it's like, crazy. What are these dwarfs doing?
I don't know.
Nothing, apparently,
Nothing.
because Bilbo has to do it all.
Nothing. For having 12 other people other than him and Thorin, there should be more involvement somehow from somebody
Yeah.
else to come up with these things.
Yeah.
I thought we had a little bit more variety so that everybody could do a task, but it seems like the lion's share is going to one person.
Yeah. And then we like finally get into the mountain. And guess what? Again, Bilbo has to do everything.
Yeah.
They're
They
like,
refuse to
Bilbo.
go inside.
Yeah, they're like, Bilbo, go find this magic rock for us.
And I was like, why are we getting this information now? I feel like this could have been good information to have, I don't know, 4 chapters ago about what this Arkstone is. I thought that this was going to be a bigger thing than it was. It really wasn't that big of a deal, a thing. But I was like, this seems like a big thing to just kind of throw in there of like, oh, you know what? There's also a really, 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 really important treasure that I really want to get while we're in there.
Really want to, and so I need you to go in and get it for me.
But he tells him that like the night before. It isn't even like, oh, we've been prepping you this entire time. No, it's like, and while you're in there.
I know it's crazy. And then Bilbo goes and spies on Smaug, who's pretending to sleep because that's what he does. And then they start talking in riddles.
Yeah, well, Bilbo first gets the first cup, and then he goes back and they celebrate, all the dwarves celebrate because he got treasure out. And then Smaug realizes that something was missing. So then he gets super angry and starts throwing rocks at them and starts eating their ponies so that now they can't leave even if they wanted to because
Yeah.
Smaug is going to get them.
And because he ate their ponies, he can tell exactly who they are, how many of them there are. And I was like, that's crazy. Honestly, I can see the logic in that, but like at the same time, he's like, I know that they're dwarfs because their ponies tasted like they've been ridden by dwarves.
Only one he couldn't figure out was Bilbo because he hasn't smelled a hobbit.
Oh yeah, that's true. He did say that. And then immediately after, after their whole riddle thing, because apparently dragons really like to talk in riddles. That's
They love riddle
common.
talk because you shouldn't tell them their name, but you also don't want them to get mad at you for not telling you their name. So you have to entertain them enough for them not to kill you, but you still don't tell them your actual name.
Which I love that for dragons. I just love that for them.
It's like the fairy thing where you're like, you should never tell them your real name.
They're like, but also I really need some entertainment, so.
So, but yeah, it's in this chapter where they, in the text, it literally calls Bilbo the quote unquote real leader. And I was like, we gotta have a chat. We really gotta have a chat.
Then we go from Smaug talking in riddles, and while he's just babbling on to Bilbo, Bilbo's just taking every advantage he can, and he notices that spot.
The weak spot.
Yeah.
And so he tells the dwarves. And then while he's with the dwarves, a bird hears him.
Which I actually like, I might have even just glanced over that part because I don't remember the bird hearing him, but I do remember the random guy in Lake Town finding, like, just shooting it.
Yeah, it's because the thrush told him where the spot was.
See? Missed that. Whatever that happened, I missed it. I remember Bilbo finding the spot. I missed the transfer of information there.
I also missed it the first time because I was like, how did the thrush know? And then I was thinking about it and I was like, oh, the thrush had been at their camp the whole time. And even in that chapter, Bilbo says, like, oh, and the thrush was also there while I was telling them. And so it does actually like connect.
Yeah, that makes more
But it is
sense.
just like one line and then another just like one line.
Then, see, that's what made me mad because I was like, how did we get this information? And this just random lake guy just knows where to shoot? By the way, do you remember them mentioning, what is his name? The lake guy is
Bard.
Bard. Is he mentioned before he kills this dragon?
No. They just say
See?
it's Captain Bard is there.
Okay, so I'm not going crazy because I read that like I read the part where Captain Bard shoots this dragon and I was like, this just guy comes out of the woodworks and is just like, bam, got him for you.
Okay,
He's
so
dead. And I was just like, where the heck did this guy come from? But then in the movie, he's introduced at the very beginning when they're in Lake Town the first time. So I was like, did I miss something?
That makes sense for a movie for you to have somebody already like plotted out, but in the book, no, because it goes from them going into the mountain after he does all the riddle speak, then Smaug goes out again, he's going to attack them. And when they don't hear anything and they think that he's going to attack, so they run into the mountain and then they close the door behind them. So Smaug does all of the fire and he starts flinging rocks and everything, but now they're locked in the mountain. And then we have them looking for the Ark Stone. This is when Bilbo pockets the Ark Stone without telling anybody, or Arkenstone without telling anybody. And then this is when they all gather gold and then they leave the mountain because he says like they were wondering where Smaug was. And
Right.
then 14 opens with them saying just like, and here's what happened with Smaug. So they really, he didn't set it up at all. He just said, oh, and by the way, we're just going to a separate scene, and this is the beginning of that scene.
Right. And it felt so random to me. Like, I understand. Like, when reading a book, you expect to follow along the main plot. And then all of a sudden, the whole main, like the whole building up of the plot gets to the point of killing the dragon, and they don't even do it themselves,
No,
which
that's
is
just what I was
crazy.
thinking. I was like, how are they going to get back to Lake Town in order to help them to kill the dragon? Because I feel like I've seen this part of a movie, even though I know this isn't the first one, but maybe I've just seen the first 10 minutes of the second movie. Because I feel like I've seen the scene where just this random guy shoots Og.
Yeah.
But it was very just strange. Because I thought, for some reason, I thought that the dwarves are there like fighting off and like trying to help the town while that this guy was like doing something, and that's not what was happening. They were in a completely separate area.
Well, I see where you're coming from because in the movie, they injure the two younger dwarves and they keep them
Oh.
in the town, in Lake Town. At, like one of them's recovering and the other one's helping
Oh.
him recover. So in the movie, they are there and fighting and helping. But in the book, those two dwarves aren't injured. They're along with the rest of the party in the mountain. And then, so in the book, that just random transition where they're just waiting for this dragon to come back, they find the Arkenstone. And then immediately it's like cuts to. This is what's happening with Smaug. He's dead now because a guy named Bard just shot him, and yay. And you're like, where did this come from? And then we go whoop, right back to the
Right back to
mountain.
them, and then they're like, oh, this is where you had to do the thresh, because the thresh came to them and started trying to tell them that Smaug was dead, and they're like, we can't speak what this bird is speaking. So then the thresh goes and gets a raven and brings the raven back to the dwarves, and then that's when they find out that Smaug is dead, and then that's when they're like, well, then we have to shore up the mountain, we have to get all that gold.
Yeah. And then they start going through all of the gold looking for that Arkenstone, which we already know Bilbo has at that point.
Yeah. When they went through the first time, but now they're like really, really gearing up.
Yeah.
It
And then,
literally, sorry, I'm gonna go back
no.
really quick. So it was talking for a page and a half. It just talks about what Smaug is thinking about. And then it said, no one had dared to battle him for any age, nor would they have dared now had it not been for the grim voiced man, Bard was his name, who ran to and fro, cheering on the archers and urging the master to fight them to the last arrow. So that's when he gets introduced.
It's just
As an
out of
aside,
nowhere.
Bard was
Out of
his name.
nowhere.
They literally just said, like, oh, nobody was going to fight him except for this one man.
Then immediately, once he kills him, everybody's like, Bard needs to be the
King.
king. We are
King.
here for King Bard. I was like, why? You know, he
One
could be
thing
a horrible
happened.
man.
Right?
We know nothing about him.
So funny.
And then, I mean, true to the point here, because he shows up with all of these people at the
Okay.
door of Under the Mountain, and he's like, hey guys, can you give us some of the gold that you had promised us when we helped you before we sent you in there?
Okay, see, I don't think they promised him. He was saying, hey, I killed this dragon. I killed it. You guys didn't do shit. So I should get a reward, so because your mountain is now yours because of me, because you don't have to face the dragon anymore. Guess what? I killed it. So that means I get some money. And they said no.
No, he didn't want, he wanted, okay,
He wanted
reset.
he
He
was
wanted a
saying that he
portion of
wanted
it.
money, but he was going to give part of that money to the town. He was like, they asked for money for the town, and he said no. And he was like, okay, well then I killed the dragon. Are you going to give me money then? And he still said no.
Right, and he wanted the portion that he was due for that to use it, but he didn't want all of the money.
Right. He didn't want a full portion, but he was like, hey, you guys should give me some money, especially because our town is now ruined because I killed the dragon for you.
Exactly. So, and that's honestly like fair.
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 Very fair.
Okay, here's a portion of money. So the town that just helped me get to where I am right now can have this teeny tiny portion of money that's not going to really make a difference to me in the long haul. Here you go. Right?
Yeah.
No.
No.
I'm not going to separate with a single coin. Excuse me, sir. We did not go through this whole journey just for you to be selfish. I liked you.
Ridiculous. Exactly. I was like, why the heck is he all of a sudden just a terrible person who refuses to budge on anything? He doesn't even
Right?
have the Arkham stone. It's not even like he's cultivating and like captured this one thing that he refuses to let anyone have. He doesn't even
Exactly.
know where it is. He could literally give them one chest of gold and just be like, okay, there you go, bye.
And the whole time, everybody's talking about worrying about him going mad with the Arkenstone because his father and grandfather went mad with it. And little do we know, it was the ring. But like they're just talking about that the whole time, and and then suddenly he's going mad, but it has nothing to do with either of those things. And I'm like, this is also out of left field. Why are we suddenly being selfish? Like, you were a pretty good guy most of this book.
Right. Ugh, it was weird. I was like, what? This turn is happening for no reason.
Yeah. And then he like tries to fight. He's like, okay, go ahead and fight this elf army for me, the wood elves, and then like come back and ask me for money after you fight them. Bard is just like straight up like, I'm good friends with those guys. You don't know what you're asking.
Yeah, because then they elves and the men, they get on the same side because they've always liked them. They have trade relations with them, obviously. They got the barrel somehow. It's literally the trade relationship with Lake Town. And
Yeah.
so, and then Bilbo decides, because he has the Arkham Stone, and they told him because he got them out of so many scrapes that he could choose whatever portion of the prize that he wanted.
And
And
he had
so
decided early on it was that Arkenstone.
as soon as he
Like,
saw it, he was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure they don't mean for this to be my portion, but I'm gonna take it anyways.
yeah, this one's mine.
So he gets it, and then he actually gives it to Bard
Yeah.
and the elves.
He,
And
okay.
I thought that he was going to stay with them. I did not think that he was gonna go back.
See, I thought he was going to go back. And the whole reason I thought it is because he kind of said it when he was escaping, right? So he like goes up to the watch, whoever's on watch, I forget who.
Bomber.
Bumber, the poor fat-shamed
It's always Bomber. I'm like,
dwarf.
the only names that I know are Thorin, Bomber, and then Keely and Feely.
Keeley and Feely are my favorite, but they're the ones who are in the movie are the fake injury ones, by the way.
Oh yeah. I
Because they're
mean,
the young, they always
they're the
quote
younger
them as the
ones.
young ones,
Yeah.
so.
The problem with them is I feel like there's no, I'm pretty sure there's Glorin is in here because you meant Glorin is mentioned in Lord of the Rings. But other than that, they don't have enough personality for me to actually distinguish them
Yeah, I agree.
as characters.
And I don't either. I literally only know Keeley and Feely because they are actually kind of funny in the book as well. And Bumber gets fat shamed, and that's it.
Exactly.
So that's why I know them. And I barely know Theorn other than the fact that he's the leader. Yeah, but then like once he gives Bard that stone, he's like, okay, all I want you to do is like go tell him you have the stone. Trade it because he should get his stone like it's his. Trade it for that portion of gold that you are due, and he's just being stubborn about. And then, like, everything will be fine. And Bilbo honestly had a right. He had a right to do all of this.
I agree. I don't think he was in the wrong for this at all. I just am shocked that he still went back, because at that point I would have been like, I'm out. I'm not going to get any money from this. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just here, just hanging out. But I guess they're his boys and they've been on this journey for a long time. So he's like,
Yeah.
as much as I want this to like be over, I also want it to work out well for everybody. So I guess I'm going to go back.
Right. So he went back, and then they're like trying to figure out how Bard got this stone, and Theorn is so pissed off about it. And
And then
Bilbo
Bilbo is just like,
straight
here's
is
me.
like, yeah,
I
hey,
did
I
it.
did it. I'm sorry, but I'm not.
I was shocked.
Yeah, straight right there. I was like, why would you do that? He's gonna kill you.
And he cursed him and said he was going to kill him. And like, why did Gandalf take you on this mission? And then Gandalf's like, hi, actually, right here. You call?
Yeah. Speak of the devil, and the devil will come. Can
Yeah, for real.
I have my
But
hobbit back, please?
please. And he's like, yeah, sure, here. And then he jumps over the side of the wall and goes down. And then.
And then the next 20 pages are the last 20 pages of the book.
Not even the last 20 pages, just the next 20 pages. The last 20 pages, the following 10 pages are just wrap up.
Yeah. So the next 10 pages is the freaking war that took a whole movie.
I don't think I ever watched this movie even a little bit. I don't know how this stresses out. I mean, there's a lot of things that happen in the battle, but I don't know how they got a 3-hour movie out of this battle.
And I'll tell you one thing. So they added the background for Bard, because
Oh,
remember,
okay. Mm-hmm.
he gets introduced in the beginning of that movie. How they stretched this was they, or actually he gets introduced in the second movie. Anyway,
Yeah.
how they stretch it is Bard has background and everything, so he has things going on with him trying to coordinate for his family, because he apparently has a family. And then they also brought in the wood elves and a little bit of background for that one, because Legolas is there in the movies. He's in The Hobbit. Yeah.
That's weird.
They threw him in the movies real fast.
Yeah.
He was in the first one.
I guess he is technically a wood elf because
He
he
is.
comes to, yeah. I
He's
didn't
the
think about it.
prince of the wood elves.
I didn't think about it.
No, you're fine. I mean, I didn't know this either until these
Well, because
movies.
the entire time when I think about Lord of the Rings, I think of like Rivendell as Legolas's kingdom, and that's not right. That's just the first place that we meet him. But they do say like he's an emissary. He came from the Wood Elves. So yes, it would make sense that he's there, but I guess I just didn't connect the two of like obviously he would be there in this time as well, because what they elves live a really long time.
Yeah. So that's how they do it in the movies, is they drag it out using different characters like that.
Yeah, so then we get into the battle. This is when the other side of the dwarves show up. And we are about to have a battle with the dwarves versus the men and the elves.
The dwarves, the elves, the humans, the goblins, and the wargs.
Oh, well, I was going to say it was going to be dwarves against the humans and the elves. And then, right as they're about to battle, because the dwarves are still trying to get to the mountain at this point to see Thorin, right as they're about to battle, Gandalf is like, whoa, 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 hang on. Goblins are coming. And then all of a sudden, they're just like, it doesn't even say how they decided that they were going to work together. They just were like, I guess this is our common enemy. We're not gonna let them pass.
Yeah.
It just kind of happened. But yes, on the other side is the goblins and then the wolves or the wargs.
Yeah, so then once all of that happens, they just
Nothing
break out in
happens.
battle.
See, this is the problem, is that Bilbo is not a part of this. And even though our narrator has gone to other people in the past, he just stays with Bilbo, sort
Yeah,
of.
he decides I don't really want to get into it. So
Yeah.
they
So
go to war.
Bilbo puts the ring on, he's out. So.
Yeah. They go to war and Bilbo just basically decides that he's out of it. And then he gets knocked out.
He gets knocked out. I mean. Everybody's on the losing side of the battle. They're about to leave. And then Thorin and the other dwarves come out, and it turns the tide of the war. And then they're going to lose the battle again. The goblins have them on the ropes. And then the eagles show up, and everything's fine, and everything's good. And this is when he decides to pass out. And at this point, with even before our third one, I was already like, man, the amount of Deus Ex Machinas in this freaking book are insane. Literally insane. I don't know how he does it.
I don't either. No idea. I also thought it, I just thought the whole idea of like, because he, the eagles come and then he's like out and then he wakes up and they're like, yeah, it went great. We've been looking for you.
Thought you might be dead,
This
but
was my
Gandalf said that we
literal,
should wait.
yeah, Gandalf said that this is the last mission we would have to find you. So you're really lucky, by the way, because we were about to count you as dead.
And this is where I'm like, if he was dead, would Gandalf feel bad? Because I don't think Gandalf would feel bad.
I do actually. Gandalf said, like, many of times in this book that Bilbo was his friend when they were when they were battling the goblins and everything, and they made it out, and Bilbo didn't. Gandalf straight is like on a
Oh, he is
war
on a
mission.
tear. Yeah.
Yeah,
He's
he's
like, you
like,
guys can't leave without him.
you can't leave without Bilbo. That's my friend back there. We're
Yeah.
going back in. And then suddenly Bilbo shows up and everything's fine. But Gandalf was about to fight some goblins for him.
I know, but I feel like if he died in battle, would he feel bad for telling him and basically forcing him on the journey in the first place? I don't know. He seems like the type of guy who, I don't know. I put him a little bit in the Dumbledore camp of like maybe had good intentions, but went about it the entirely the wrong way. And ultimately, everything that happened is your fault.
You know, I can kind of see that argument. I just think that he had good intentions and everything ended up going fine.
Which he
And
chalks up to prophecy at the end of the book. He's like, yeah, it's just because you were prophesied to stay alive. And
yeah.
Bilbo's like, oh, that's great. Thanks.
But there's also like a point where Gandalf is like straight up like, hey, I don't know if you're gonna make it out of this alive. And he says it like three different times throughout the entirety of the book. He's like, I don't know if you're gonna live through this, but you know, we're just doing it. So I feel like with him being honest to him, if he was gonna not feel bad, he wouldn't have told him that he might not make it out. Like he would have been like, you'll be fine. And then he dies and he would have been like, okay, whatever. But he's like, no, I don't know if you're gonna live. And then he dies and he probably feels bad. He's like, I'm so sorry I told you. I am
Also, I
sorry
told
though.
you, so you should have known.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. I told you all of this information. Yeah, I
Yeah.
think Gandalf would have felt bad. Don't do my man Gandalf like that.
Okay, so yes, they say everything went great. The eagles were really getting it together. And then somehow the goblins still were like fighting back. And then finally it takes Beorn to show up. And that's when everything's good.
Yeah.
And he finally is able to get Thorin out of the way because he got injured in the battle. And then he goes and rips everybody to shreds, basically, in his bear form. And
Yeah.
so Bilbo shows up just in time to say goodbye to Thorin as he succumbs to his injuries.
Which is so sad. That scene actually made me really sad. But what really got me really upset is the fact that we glanced over the deaths of Feely and Keely.
I don't even know when they died. They just said they died in the battle.
Yeah, no, in the book you don't know when they died. They just say that. They're
Is
like,
just, it
by
is
the way, they
literally
died.
tacked on. It is tacked on to when Thorin dies. They're like, also, Feely and Keely died.
Which
And
I
you're like,
already
and then they're like, and it's okay because they were Thorin's relatives and that's the way they wanted to go, or something to that effect. And I was like, excuse me?
Yeah, and I was like, these are the only two dwarves that I actually really liked because they were funny to me and they were hanging out with Bilbo and they were like the only dwarves with actual personality because, I mean, yes, Bomber has personality, but his
It's just that
personality
he's
is being
fat.
fat. So Feely and Keely were by far my favorite dwarves and the fact that they glanced over their desk like that, I was so sad.
I was shocked. I was like, what? What? Just randomly. Okay, I guess.
So
Sure.
sad.
Yes. So then, because they bury Thorin with the Arkenstone, Dane, who's the new king of the dwarves, I guess, or who's going to be the new king under the mountain, is saying, you guys gave us your end of the bargain of giving us the Arkenstones. We're going to give you money for the Arkenstone, like he promised, even though he was planning on going back on that promise, but he did promise it. So Bard was able to get a portion of the treasure.
Which was
And
deserved the whole time. And all of this happened within 10 pages.
And then he's also going to give Bilbo money. And Bilbo's like, well, technically, I gave up my share. And he's like, yeah, that's fine. You can still get money. And Bilbo says, it's okay. I don't actually need that much money. Just give me one chest of gold and one chest of silver because that's all the pony can hold.
Yeah.
And I'll see you guys later.
Because somebody mentioned, who mentioned it in the book? They had like brought up, they were like, how are you gonna get all this silver back? I think it was the dragon. He was like, "How are you planning on getting this silver back home?" And he was like, "You know what? That's a good
Had
point.
not thought about
How
it.
do I get all this silver back? I'm sure the dwarves would have helped me at some point, but that is a good point." And so now he's like, "Yeah, just give me what I can carry because I'm not carrying all of this by myself."
Then he leaves. Then that's it. Then he says, "Hey, if you ever want to stop by the Shire, you're always welcome. But I gotta go home. I'm ready to go
Also,
home."
tea's at 4. Then Gandalf walks him all the way home. And on the way back, they stop where they killed those trolls and get that treasure that they had found there and buried.
And he gives that to Gandalf.
Yeah, he gives a good portion to Gandalf, but I think he keeps actually a good portion himself because that's what he uses to just pay his way in life for the rest of his little life. Yeah, I think they just split it. He was like,
Okay.
"Yeah, you could share it with me, but you're gonna have more expenses." So he was like, "All right, let's just do halvesies."
Yep.
Yep.
Okay,
And
so
then,
then he gets back home and everybody is going through his house and taking his things.
because they
Or,
think he's dead,
yeah. He had been gone for a year.
over a year,
Yeah.
which is crazy. He's been gone for like, I think they said like 18 months or something.
I forgot. We forgot to say they stop at Rivendell again before they get home.
Yeah, that's Gandalf walking him all the way home.
Walking him all the way home. I don't remember if this has a part in Lord of the Rings or not, but Gandalf talks about what he was doing. He drove out the necromancer. I can't remember if that's.
So the Necromancer is the main bad guy in Lord of the Rings.
Is that his stage name?
Sauron.
Yeah. The
Yeah.
Necromancer is his stage name.
Yeah.
So then he gets home, and his family, the Saxville Bagginses, are putting all his stuff up for auction and
Because he's
want to
been
move into his
gone.
house because he's a nice house.
And they're measuring the rooms because they're coming. They're moving in. And he's like, "Hey guys, guess what? I'm not dead. Get the heck out of here and give me my spoons back."
He never got those wounds back.
Nope, he never got those spoons back. Poor Bilbo. He went through all this just to never get his spoons back.
That's the real tragedy here.
And then Gandalf straight leaves, and that's it. That's the book.
Yeah, it just says like, oh, everyone was good. The desolation of Smaug went away in the coming years. Everyone thought that Bilbo was strange after coming back, but he liked it and he took a liking to his nieces and nephews on the took side.
The Took side.
And people visit him all the time and he likes it. And
That's
the
it.
master of Lake Town died alone.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Master of Lake Town had a dragon's death.
He had dragon sickness and then he ran away. And then eventually, everybody that followed him, because he took money, everybody that followed him abandoned him and he died alone.
Yep, which is the dragon's death, surrounded by enormous piles of money with no friends.
Yeah, but I honestly can't believe that he didn't have more issues. Like, I feel like Bilbo should be maimed in some way,
Maimed.
personally. But this is a children's book, so I'm like, he should at least
He
have
should have died.
scars. I feel like he should have scars. He has no scars. He literally just like, boop, 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 boop.
No,
Let
because
me kill a dragon. Boop, 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 boop. And then that was it. He came home.
he can't have scars if no one can see where he is, Kristen.
God.
And that's the way he spent most of his
That's true. I
journey.
was surprised how often he put this ring on.
Yeah, just nonchalantly, he was just using the ring up.
Just all the time. And it said that the only time he really used the ring while he was at home, though, was just to when people called on him that he didn't want to see, he would put the ring on and hide from them. Honestly, same. I
Same
feel it.
Bilbo.
Like, I am not here. I'm sorry.
Goodbye.
How'd you like it? What are your overall thoughts?
Overall, I really liked The Hobbit. I think it was such a fun book, especially knowing the aspect that it was a children's book. It made it's just like a fun Like, you can tell each chapter is a different little portion, and you can just follow along without having to like stress over it. What about you? What are your thoughts?
I liked it. The problem with this book for me is how messy the plot is for just my brain.
That makes sense.
Because I feel like I have so many first halves of movies from Lord of the Rings, like from the two Hobbit movies, and I've watched the first half of Lord of the Rings, and I think I've watched like the first 20 minutes of the second movie, whatever that is. And so I feel like when I think about this book, I don't have an actual coherent timeline of what they do. I mismatch everybody and what they do. Especially, it probably doesn't help that I was reading both of these books simultaneously at one point. But yeah. But overall, I do like it. I think it's cute. It is definitely a children's book, even though there is so many words that mean things. There's not a lot of fluffy words in here. I mean, there's a lot of fluffy words, as in we're gonna make sure that you understand everything that's happening in the scene, and maybe not everybody wants all the history, but it is not, I don't know.
No, I get it. I get what you're saying.
I liked this book though. The Hobbit might have been a good, easy way to ease into this.
Yeah, especially since he has such a very specific writing style that I can already tell it's going to be hard to follow along for Lord of the Rings. So getting eased into it with The Hobbit definitely helps.
Yes.
But that's for next month. And with that, we say goodnight.
With that, we say goodnight. We hope you guys had fun following along with us and reading, hopefully reading this book with us. Tell us all your thoughts. Tell us what you think about it. Tell us all the ways that I'm wrong, and that
Where I'm
Tolkien is the
wrong.
best person in the entire world, and I should be falling at his feet.
I read on vibe, so I completely understand if I'm wrong. Bye.